Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
the Dharma Large Podcast?
It's the Spooky Lars Podcast here from the Dharma Lars Haunted Mansion. It's me, blood-soaked Ben, and my friend, Rectangular Ralph.
What's up, Ralph? Why rectangular?
I figure rectangles are pretty spooky.
All right.
Like a tombstone can be a rectangle.
Or a coffin.
Or a coffin, yeah. Yeah.
Or Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. All rectangles, all terrifying.
It is time for a spooky podcast starring me and Ben.
Here we are, guys. We're
how's it going, guys?
We're both big fans of Halloween.
I think it's my favorite holiday. Possibly, maybe, with the exception of 4th of July.
I think it's
or
my
Independence Day, I guess, is the holiday.
It's like my favorite holiday with the possible exception of Christmas. But I think Halloween wins out because it features more girls dressed as sluts.
Yes, which is
slightly
a good
more.
Thing. Slightly more.
It's like a slight edge. And candy canes can't hold a candle to Reese's pumpkins or whatever they have this time of year.
And mistletoe can't hold a candle to moose knuckles. I wasn't. Yeah.
God, I would hope not. So, by the time you hear this, you should be well into your spooky weekend for the last weekend before Halloween.
And, yes.
Yeah. So
it's holiday weekend, guys. Come on.
Come on.
What are you dressed as now?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you dressed as now or for Halloween? Send us pictures. Send us emails. Send us phone calls. Let us know. I'm interested.
Especially the ladies. Send those emails.
Yeah. That didn't come out very well.
Was that a moose?
I'm sorry. I was joking. God. Why are you so, why do you think I was making a joke? I was just joking. You should show more sympathy and less making fun of me.
What? I'm not paying attention. I don't know what's going on.
Par for the course. How was your week, Ralph?
My week was, it was all right.
Did you finish any more work on your latest script?
Not too much.
But some?
Some.
That's good.
Some.
Moving forward.
I'm trying.
Right on.
How was your week?
Oh, it was so-so. You know, just work. I had my review, finally.
That's good.
Yeah.
How'd that turn out?
They were pretty positive. Yeah, they gave me all a 90% and above.
That's good.
So I was in the top 10 percentile and above.
Sweet.
Yay.
I have no idea what that means.
It's good. It's good.
Sweet.
It's all A's.
We started our holiday weekend last weekend, watching a couple spooky movies.
Yeah, we did. We did it up right. I invited Ralph over to the house so we could decorate for my party.
We didn't do any decorating.
We didn't decorate at
all. I think
all.
You tore some curtains.
Yeah, I did tear up some curtains, but mostly we watched House on Haunted Hill, the Vincent Price version.
Yes, and also with Mike Nelson commentary.
Mike Nelson from MST3K.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was very funny.
We watched The Blob.
We watched The Blob with the teenager Steve McQueen.
The teenager Steve McQueen who has to be 35 teen.
Tops.
What else did we watch?
House
of Wax. The other House of Wax. Nightmare on Elm Street 1.
And after you left, Becky and I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Thank God I left. I hate that movie.
I do not hate that movie.
That's my number one hated movie ever.
What? Really?
Really.
Because of all the hoopla? Because
it sucks.
Because it sucks? It sucks more than any other movie that you could hate?
Yes.
Like Battlefield Earth or The Avengers?
Hey, I own Battlefield Earth.
Only as a moral lesson.
Yes.
It's there to show the other DVDs what
not
to do.
I would rather watch Avengers than
than Rocky Horror
Battlefield or, or Rocky Horror.
One time we
I really don't like the
movie Clue. Remember that?
Don't even get me started on
the time. We went to see a midnight show of the movie Clue starring Tim Curry at the New Art Theater in Santa Monica.
Which I hadn't seen before. I'm a huge fan of the midnight shows, so I hadn't seen Clue. It's one of Stevie's favorite movies, so I figured, all right, let's go check it out. Midnight show. I love it.
Yeah, and I recommended it because I really like that
movie.
Yeah,
I hear it's funny.
Yeah. But then we got there and it turned out that there were some douches doing a shadow cast in front of the screen, much like they do with the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So the first time I ever saw Clue was
with people pre-enacting it?
I don't know.
Currently enacting it?
Pre-enacting? Let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, dude. We went to a reenacting thing this weekend.
We went to a reenacting thing this weekend. It was March Through History.
Yeah.
And March Through History is a bunch of people who like to reenact different army eras and different times or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty nerdy, but me and my friend Sean and my friend Mike decided that we would do some pre-enactment and dress up as robot army from the future and just kind of like walk around like 1950s robots.
Because they do.
At the end of the parade, we would just sneak in and say.
So just follow the parade and be like, we will destroy all humans 1,000 years from now.
We will collect humans from several eras throughout history
and make them our slaves.
So I'm look for me and my pre-enactment group.
Pre-enacting.
In the future.
Yeah. Look for
not too distant
events.
Future.
So we did that this weekend.
Yes, and that was awesome. We'll put up pictures of that. Sure, why not?
So that was our story about Clue and marching through history.
God, I have a raging Clue right now.
All
right, guys, what do you say we get to Lost?
Let's get Lost, dude. Let's do it.
I am really excited.
Let's get to this spooky episode
of
Lost. You fucking loved Every Man for Himself.
I loved that episode a lot.
Good. Talk about it.
Best episode of the season.
Okay.
Show me where I'm wrong.
I'm not going to.
All right. Sweet.
I'm letting you take the ball and run.
First and foremost, I do want to mention that there are two islands, not just one.
Totally two islands.
I mentioned that on The Tale of Two Cities.
Yes.
Our first official Lost podcast episode thingy.
Yep.
And I was very, very excited. When Ben Linus said, I want you to see something, I thought he was just going to, like, shoot him in the back of the head like Mice of Men.
I thought he was going to pull something out of his pants.
But I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I see the water. I see the water. I see the water. And I was very, very, very pleased.
You weren't there at my house last night when I was watching it, but I turned to my roommates and said, Ralph called it.
Like... Four weeks ago?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it is quite a barrier. I mean, he would have to get down the cliff to the beach and then presumably swim all that distance, which I don't know if a regular person could swim.
Well, I think just using the analogy of Alcatraz kind of puts it in Sawyer's mind that he wouldn't be able to make it.
Too much current, maybe.
Even though that island is definitely bigger than two Alcatrazes.
I wouldn't. I mean, I've been on Alcatraz, but I'm horrible at like size, like... Estimating size.
Yeah, but do you remember the shot from A Tale of Two Cities where it showed that island?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
That's bigger than
that's
Alcatraz.
That's huge.
Yeah. Did you see the Mythbusters where they tested the Alcatraz escape?
Yes.
So
hopefully...
If that episode had aired by 2004, then maybe the castaways have a chance.
I don't believe it had.
Ah!
But...
Fucked again!
Sawyer knows this shit, dude. He'll get off.
Yeah.
So, man, a lot of
two islands.
This episode.
That's a big thing.
This episode I loved because at no point did it feel like they were stalling.
Yeah.
That's one of my main gripes with last week's episode, whatever it was, Further Instructions.
You felt they had to kill time.
Yeah, it really felt like they were
killing
time.
All right, well,
but
we need 44 minutes.
It seemed like every minute of this episode was important. And just like it seemed like this was probably the most intense episode since season one.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of the stuff that happened in lockdown, but there was a lot of intense scenes in this.
Intensity.
And I was like, yeah, that's right. Lost is intense.
Lost is a edge of your seat
and
thriller.
It gets a little mysterious and scary, and it's really, you know.
Hey, was that the first time we ever got a scene between two others, like with the exception of the first scene of the season?
What do you mean?
Like there was a scene between Juliet and Ben Linus. where they discussed the relative merits of, I think, bringing Jack in to help with that operation.
There was a scene with Ethan and Tom in maternity leave.
But Claire was there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not saying it's a major thing. I just one of my roommates mentioned it, and I said I can't think of one, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. I can't think of it offhand.
That led to one of my favorite moments of last night's episode was leading Jack through the compound
with the sound blaring.
Yeah,
yeah, that was cool.
And it looked like he turned his hood, like maybe he heard them, but.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The whole thing was, like, why would the others, allow Kate and Sawyer to see Jack, but not vice versa?
Because Jack's the important one.
I guess so.
But then
why would they play Sawyer's audio over the speaker box?
I think they don't think that box works. I don't think that was part of Juliet's con. I think she really thinks that box doesn't work.
But what are the chances of it being hooked to Sawyer's cage? That's strange,
right?
Short
circuits happen. And plus that purple thing, maybe that cross-wired it with the electromagnets.
I have no idea, but it seems strange because otherwise it'd be polar bears talking to sharks or dolphins. Right?
Hey, well, maybe dolphins talking to polar bears. I am hungry.
I am hungry.
Give me a fish biscuit.
Oh, you just ate Eric.
Yeah, so...
Leave that to Mike.
Now you can see there's plenty of reasons.
Yeah.
Now I've logically proven that dolphins talk to polar bears.
They talk to Derek Flint.
What do you think was in Kate's cage?
Before?
Yeah. No.
Well, okay. This is you want to know what I think it was, because I had this as one of my notes. I think Kate's cage housed Smurfs. Because only Gargamel will build a cage that allows something to get through.
Get right through the bars.
Really easily.
Yeah. What the hey?
Why would she got through that thing way too easy?
I mean, it would have to be an animal that couldn't possibly climb.
Gargamel's another.
Like elephants.
Who knows?
It was an elephant cage.
Ooh, maybe it was a giraffe.
Yeah.
They stick their necks through to get to those trees above.
But they couldn't make their
there
way
you
through.
Go.
There you go.
Giraffes.
Giraffes. So look for a pissed off giraffe on the island.
Or Smurfette.
Just like Hurley said. Or Smurfette, yeah. We'll see which theory is right.
You think someone's gonna dress up as slutty Smurfette?
For Halloween?
Yeah.
In the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's still slutty Smurfette.
If there's a slutty Smurfette out there that's listening to this, for some reason, send us a picture.
Or if you know a friend of a friend, you know, 6 degrees. Get us 6 degrees to a slutty Smurfette. A.K.A. a regular Smurfette, by the way.
Hell yeah, dude.
So anyhow.
All right.
What else you got on your notes there?
We're
going to
go through notes. The first note I have is mimes.
Mimes?
Yeah, it just looked funny when Tom and the...
In their garçon gear.
Yeah, when they're in their black outfits, they look like a troop of street mimes,
yeah.
Or they look like stagehands or something.
Yeah,
they're really
look like
funny
techies,
looking.
Yeah.
And I thought, why are they dressed like that? And then I realized, because they were doing a night raid.
Because they just came back from the place where Sun shot Connie.
Connie? The long Connie. Yeah.
Colleen? Yeah.
I don't care. She's dead.
Yeah, that was quick, huh?
Fuck it, she's dead. There's a horse in the hospital. All right.
All right, Earth people, let's get on to the next one.
I have Sawyer's plan to electrocute.
It was a great plan.
That was a great plan.
Talked about it a little much.
And I loved the way he used his foot. He was going to use his foot to conduct the electricity.
He was going
to
be part of the circuit.
Like, how badass was that?
He's like, I know what it's like. I know what's coming.
Like, I don't know. I thought that was a cool plan. Like, I thought he was just going to, like, touch it with a stick or something.
Yeah, I thought he was going to try it because the water. At first, I thought he was going to get the water to get the mud wet and just dig under the bars.
But just kicking it with his foot so you seem more badass.
Yeah.
Ben lays the smack down.
Yeah, Ben really took it to Sawyer, who I think still holds the title of most worked dude on Lost Island. Or, I guess, on the Lost Islands.
Yes.
Lost Archipelago.
Rockapello?
Yes. What? Where in the world is James Ford?
We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he gets the most beat down. He gets shot and punched a bunch of times.
And gets bamboo in his nails.
Yeah, he gets stabbed in, like, an artery in his arm.
He gets shot.
He gets his glasses broken.
Get his arm stabbed.
He gets shot.
And he gets beat with one of those collapsible poles.
Yeah, dude, those things are bad. Can a regular citizen have one of those?
Yes.
Sweet.
My brother-in-law has one.
He's not a regular citizen.
But he has one.
That's cool.
And he could get some.
Yeah, tell him to give me one.
He's a regular citizen.
I thought he was a cop.
Yeah, but he's a regular citizen.
Well, that's what I meant. It was like a regular citizen who's not also a cop. Like, I know that having a nightstick is probably illegal.
Wait, don't you have a nightstick?
Shh.
All right. What are you going to be for Halloween, nightstick guy?
I'm going as Sarah Connor.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was the first time I discovered how much nightsticks kick ass.
Just because you can hold, you didn't know they could be held that way.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, she's holding it that way?
That's cool.
That's crazy.
That's good for defense.
Yeah.
I have my next note says Band-Aid plus bandage.
Yeah, he had a...
A little tiny Band-Aid next to his big bandage. I thought that was funny. It's not really important, but... I thought it was kind of silly.
They made him into the anti-crank.
Yeah.
He was the Bizarro crank.
Bizarro? Yes, he was Bizarro crank.
If his heart rate got too high, then he would blow up. Yes. Instead of vice versa.
Who would win in a fight?
Crank or James Ford?
Yes.
Chev Chelios, 100%.
Going to get some spooky music going here.
There's some Hitchcockian background.
Yes.
Yeah, Chev Chelios would kick James Ford's ass. But, you know, hey, what about your friend? I'm going to have some fun.
Yes. Yes, Bill Duke from Predator was in the episode.
Yes, he was.
Big fan of the movie Predator. I'm surprised I haven't done any Predator one-liners
that's
yet.
That's your job for tonight.
I'm not going to do a one-liner. I'm going to do a four-liner.
You go out on a four-liner from Predator.
Yes. What did you think of the whole bunny shaking cage sequence? That was pretty intense.
Yeah, that was cool. Because not only was he just like trying to freak the bunny out, but he was also using terms expressly used to communicate with bunnies, like hippity hop. He was telling it to hippity hop.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I just, his whole thing was just like, it was very strange the way he tried to get that bunny. Like, the things he said were very... like just creepy sounding.
Yeah, he's a total creep. I don't think he's been socialized well. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, Benjamin Linus he's a weird guy.
Yeah, he is weird.
And that rabbit with its red eyes. I mean, I guess that's what rabbits look like.
Yeah, so you're the one that should know, Mr. Watership Down movie that you made me watch.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Between Watership Down and Of Mice and Men, I guess that makes two rabbit books that that Sawyer reads. Is there a total lost theory there?
No.
No.
Real baby?
Fake baby.
Fake baby.
Long
con. You think it's a long con?
Yeah.
I have this thing where I think that it's Cassidy's in cahoots with that treasurer guy. You remember the treasurer.
The treasurer?
Remember Bill Duke at the end, the warden says, you remember the treasurer.
Yeah.
It's like as if we're supposed to recognize him. He kind of looked like Dax Shepard.
Huh.
A little bit. But,
so he was the one helping run the long con with Cassidy?
I think so. That's a theory.
So there was real money involved.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely... I don't know, maybe Lost is training us to not look for the easy answer, but you show me a picture of a baby, and I'm like, yeah, that's a picture of a baby. You know, show me a baby, and then I'll be like, yeah, she rented a baby.
Well, it did have blue eyes like Sawyer, so you never know.
Eh?
Yeah.
But if... in his mind, it appeared as though he thought that he really did have a baby with Cassidy, and he did as best he could to do right by her.
Yeah.
So Kate could rob the bank and get all of his money. Yeah. Clementine.
So do you think that... what do you think of the big question that was open to us last week on the promo? Do you love this man?
Yeah.
Do you love this man?
She said yes.
Do you love this man?
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you love this man?
Well,
do you love this man? She said yes.
She did say yes.
But then she said, I was only trying to get him to stop hitting you.
But then she went back in her cage.
But even when she says, I did it so they would stop hitting you, that still means that she would love him, right?
Yeah. I.
If I didn't love you, Ben, I would let that guy beat on you for as long as he wanted.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
But I would say, you know what? I'm in love with Ben.
Yeah. You wouldn't bother saying it.
Yeah.
Just to save me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like there's this possible love triangle between Kate, Jack, and Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And from the trailer last week and from like certain hints that have been dropped, we're kind of thinking, oh, they're going to resolve it like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's not going to happen like that. It's going to have to be in like a small moment between one, two, or three of them.
Yeah.
So
it's, you know, who knows?
She stayed. She stayed, and that's
important. It's possible she loves them both.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
she could be very conflicted.
You're stuck on an island with someone.
Yeah.
You're bound to, you know, have feelings for them after 71 days.
And they haven't had a chance to, like, go on a date or you know, try to work out who would be better. So I think it's very important that she went back into that cage. I think that means something.
And, yeah, that really easy to get into.
Into the draft cage, yeah.
Draft. It's got to be drafts. Can you think of it? Do you see any kind of food trough in there? There might be a water trough, right? It's got to be. I'm going to say giraffes.
Giraffe makes sense. Sure.
If you producers of Lost are listening, just call it a giraffe cage and we'll be cool.
Like in an episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's something I have. It's a question for you, Ben.
Ooh.
Tom, who lives on Island B.
Right.
Goes to the staff bunker.
On Island A.
On Island A. Puts on his outfit with his beard.
Which is in the locker on Island A.
Goes back to the boat.
Yeah.
And then goes to the raft where Michael was. That just seems logistically strange that they would keep their other's clothes across the other side of the island.
That's interesting. You know, why not just wear them before you get in the boat?
Put them in a cage. Hang them up on the giraffe cage.
We don't know how long they were in that fake village. Maybe that was part of their plan, was to live in that fake village for a while in case anyone came across them. The one on Island A.
Yeah.
Maybe they had to stay in character a lot there. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are kind of seem strange now that you look at them, like different events in the past. Like, for example, Andy on the Blogspot mentioned that she thinks it's strange that Charlie was hanging from a tree if the others say that they're not there to kill people or they're not murderers.
Yeah, something weird still has to be, like I said, that still has to be spoken for. They have to say why that happened to Charlie.
Yeah.
Or why that the people, like Scott, why Scott's dead.
Yeah.
There's got to be explanation for that. But I think it's going to be one of those things where once Lost has run its course, like, 3 years from now, and it's all done, over and done with, and we can finally put all the pieces together, then we can say things like, yeah, really, the beard shouldn't have been in that hatch, should have been in a different place to make more sense, but it was the best way to lay the story out in an intriguing way, episode to episode.
So now that we know there's two islands.
Yes.
And, like, there's two islands.
There's two islands, straight up.
Now that there's no boat for the survivors, how fucked is Locke at trying to rescue our guys?
He could comb the island. Well, at some point, though, he's going to see the other island.
Yes, but how is he going to get to it?
He's got the same problem that Sawyer has. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Unless Desmond has another boat up his ass.
He might. But you know what my theory is?
What's your theory?
He's Locke LaLanne.
And he could tow a boat with his
teeth? Yeah, he's going to just take a bunch of, bamboo shoots and tie them together and then pull an army of survivors with his teeth across the channel.
Oh, that would be pretty sweet, I have to admit. Well, maybe there's underground passageways. Underwater passageways.
I've heard about these people talking about their underwater passageways.
You've heard that for too long now.
Yes.
You're not going to stand for it anymore.
For the past 24 hours now. I'm sick of it.
I'm so sick of it.
I want to see Locke LaLanne pulling survivors with his teeth.
Nice.
With guns.
And guns.
That'd be
what
awesome.
What else? Do you have any more notes about this episode?
I have a lot of notes, even though I really loved it. When we did see the two islands, there was a shot showing our Lost Island. When they cut to the reverse, there's this strange speaker box behind Sawyer and Ben.
Yeah, just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, what is that?
I think is that it a warning? Island B is like wired for sound. That they could probably, I don't know, maybe alarm klaxons or whatever they want. Because it was right in the middle of anywhere. It makes me think that they're all over the place, like streetlights or something.
But do you think maybe it's like if someone gets close, it does like monster sounds or...
Ooh, yeah, like a deterrent?
I just thought it was strange because it was...
I noticed that. I was like,
it wasn't big. It was, but it was definitely permanent.
Yeah.
and it had been there for a while because it was rusted.
Yeah.
I just thought that was crazy.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows where any of this is going? Is the whole airplane on the island because Jack's a spinal surgeon?
I have no idea. I would say coincidence.
Really cool coincidence?
It's always a cool coincidence.
Or is that just what the Lost Island decided to help Benjamin Linus out?
I guess. It was a coincidence.
Okay.
Like, even if he wasn't a spinal surgeon. Well, wait a second. Do we know that it's Ben Linus's tumor?
I think it was made a little too evident from the trailer for next week.
Well, Ryan and I looked at the trailer. But we'll discuss that.
We'll get to that in
a couple of minutes. I really actually don't have any more notes, so you just want to jump into that?
I got a couple of things. I wanted to talk about Jack and Juliet, where they had like a couple of great interactions where he was telling her, to move the liver up so he could get behind it. And uh-huh. She said, "Oh, I'm not a surgeon." And he was like telling her like the same way he would have told Son or Kate, "You're doing fine. You have to help me out." Go ahead.
I was going to say the thing that I really liked about that scene is after Colleen died, you could see Jack in doctor mode, and he almost called the time of death, and he snapped out of it.
Because that's what
he
happens.
He was cool.
When
he was like
dies.
In the zone. Like you could see him like reliving his past.
Yeah,
and his
it was
glory
cool.
Days.
It was a cool moment because it was very real that here he is in a situation that has a familiar shape. So he became the guy that acted in that situation. And then it had to be like a slap to the face to remember where he was. But then I thought the corollary to that scene was later on when he was trying to tell her, when she was dead when she came in here and she said, "Oh, are you just trying to make me feel better?" And he was like, "Why would I want to make you feel better?
Yeah.
Here's my, Jack, just to make it straight, you're my
I'm
fucking
really,
captor."
I'm really digging season 3 Jack a lot. I think he's not crazy. He seemed like he's kind of calmed down a little bit, and he's finally asking questions he should ask, and he's giving the right answers he should.
Exactly.
He's really being like smart alecky, like the whole, "I'm a repo man."
Yeah.
It's great for me because I'm a people person.
Yeah, and he's rising to the challenge quite well, I think.
And his whole thing where he was trying to play Juliet the same way that Henry Gale was trying to play John Locke. Why do you listen to him? Why does he make all the decisions?
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah.
Which me and Ryan were talking about it earlier, and I mean, Jack wasn't around for that conversation, so
he
it's
just
a pretty
knows
old
how to manipulate
it's, yeah,
people.
It seems like it's an old trick, and I'm wondering if Juliet is going to see right through that.
Well, in terms of like interrogation techniques and trying to break people, I've actually been thinking about something that Saeed said a lot, where he was telling Sun his plan for for killing most of the others and keeping two of them. And she said, "Why two?" And he said, "One, to make the other one talk." And that's that's making me think a lot about this situation now that we've got with Jack and Kate and Sawyer.
Yeah.
Like, are Kate and Sawyer there to make Jack talk, but only if it turns out that she loves Jack instead of Sawyer? Whatever's going on there. I'm still very interested in it. I love the show.
Yeah, I really
I watched Lost and I like it.
And you come to my house and talk about it.
I do.
For everyone to hear.
For everyone to listen.
Man, you're really into yourself.
I know.
I hope the whole world can hear me because I have really important things to say.
Listen up, everybody. So what's up? Are you going to move on to the next section?
Sawyer standing on the edge to end the show with an exclamation mark. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was an awesome ending to Lost.
It was. It was
just having Sawyer standing there like totally like degenerated like. That's what I
wrote. He wrote
my notes.
An exclamation mark on his notes. The question mark that led to the pearl.
That episode, that was a great exclamation point to that episode. Just having Sawyer just standing on the edge of Island One, I would have actually liked if it cut to black with him just staring, continuing instead of walking away. Because just like, at that moment, with everything Sawyer's been through on and off the island, just like, fuck, I finally met my match.
Yeah.
He's
been pooned.
Yes. Total pony.
Pawn Zord.
All right, let's get to next week because I can't wait to talk about that.
Let's get to the spooky upcoming visions of the future. Coming up on Lost.
we have episode 305, The Cost of Living.
The Cost of Living. Oh, and we forgot to talk about the episode title for this week.
Ah, fuck it.
Every Man for Himself, and then she came back with Live Together, Die Alone. Eh. And I was like, she's just saying that that's a better episode.
Live Together. I think I liked this past week's episode more.
Well, clearly you would. So yeah, The Cost of Living.
What?
There's some stuff going on there.
Yeah, okay. Me and Ryan and I went back and watched that promo again, which I never watched a promo more than once.
I know.
By the time we come to record, because the second time I watch this show and take my notes, it's online and they don't show the promo.
They don't show the next week's.
They
just show the scrubbing bubble.
There's clever editing going on, guys. I know everyone thinks that Echo's going to die in this episode.
I thought that.
It's an Echo episode.
Oh, sweet.
It is called The Cost of Living.
Yeah.
And Thursday, the day after the episode airs, Adewale will be appearing on Good Morning America.
Really?
Which is what Michelle Rodriguez did, which is what like Maggie Grace did, which is what
Ian Somerhalder?
Maybe Ian Somerhalder, and who's the other one?
There was like 18 apparently.
Yeah, but yeah, so he's going to be appearing on after. But I still think it's all red herrings.
Yeah, I mean, generally it is.
It's, I mean,
Jen speaking English was a dream.
Yes, but there, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think that Echo's going to die. It's too obviously, like, The Cost of Living is the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Like, look at Two for the Road. Look at Abandoned. Look at Deus Ex Machina. Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I mean, don't think calling it The Cost of Living.
So
I
what
think
we're
it's
saying is Echo's life
around.
Is on the line. He's marked for death in the next episode.
According to people who have theories.
Do we want to take a position? I mean, you're clearly saying no.
I'm clearly saying no. I went back and looked at the promo.
Uh-huh.
And what did you see in the promo happen to Echo?
Well, I saw someone throw an axe like at a tree trunk next to his head, and it looked like it might have winged his face a little bit.
If you go back and look at the footage,
yeah,
it's a whip pan. They show a shot of John Locke.
Right.
Then they do a quick whip pan of someone throwing like a machete.
Okay.
And then it shows it narrowly missing Echo completely and hitting the tree. If you go back to the whip pan and look who's throwing the machete, it's Echo.
That's interesting.
So it's definitely clever editing. Whether he dies or not, I'm going to take the stance that he will not die.
Okay, I'm going to be with you on this one.
As we were talking about earlier, the whole thing saying, you know, you have a tumor, and Ben Linus sitting there or what at the same time.
Yeah.
That also looks like it could be editing.
Okay.
I mean, I could show a shot of anybody
before
Jack saying that, and it could be anybody.
So do you think
you could put Saeed there in the shot before and say, yeah, but what I'm saying is it we'll have to wait
we'll
to see.
We'll have to wait to see.
I don't trust the promos because, as we found out, Hurley did not slip on rocks and fall off a cliff.
Right.
Adewale did not die when he fell out of a cliff.
True.
And
Jin didn't speak English.
Jin didn't speak English. All that stuff. So
yeah,
we're going to have to wait till next week, guys. But I am taking the stance that Echo will not perish.
I think that they are going to go back to not saying the episode title. That's my prediction. Since this week was the one time that they have said the episode title, I figure that's a pretty safe prediction.
Okay. But are you taking the stance that Echo will die?
Like, I'm with you. I think it's safer on your side.
Okay, even if he doesn't die.
But remember, I did say he'd be the first to die.
Yes. But what I'm saying is, well, and I'm not even saying, like, let's say he gets shot in the stomach this episode.
Right.
And then pulls a Libby and dies like two episodes down the road. No, I'm talking about, if this is the start of Echo's death.
So he can't even get mortally wounded in next week's episode for you.
He's going to be fine.
Okay.
He's going to come out of the episode.
I think you're totally right. I mean, I don't have anything that makes me think otherwise.
Then our fight's going to be lame next week. Because we'll either both be right or both be wrong.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And we both hope that
Echo
stays
alive. Millions of people will call us and say, you guys are idiots. Echo's going to die.
Today on the blog, I was so fired up on Lost that I went apeshit and talked about how Echo, I'm like, fine, let him die. I want him in a cage match, throw up some chicken wire around the church, and have him fight Bernard to the death. I was like, I really want this show to just start going absolutely nuts. Because last night's episode was so, I thought it was so crazy with like killing rabbits and ejecting hearts and tumors and whatever. Like,
it just thought all gloves are off.
I'm like, just go for
just
it.
Bring and the I, fucking crazy. Let
said,
it happen.
I said, I want it to be Benjamin Linus's Playhouse. I said, I want it to be Pee Wee's Playhouse with Benjamin Linus as our red bow tied hero. Like, there's a picture on our blog on MySpace of Benjamin Linus as Pee Wee Herman in the Playhouse, and I just want to see how apeshit he can get to just drive everybody mad.
Just this weird, like, master of puppets?
Yes.
That would be kind of cool.
Just absolutely crazy. I want voodoo dolls. I want pole vaulting. I want ninjas.
Yes.
I want an army of dwarves.
Clearly.
I want tightrope walkers, and I want Gunther Gable Williams on elephants. I want the Globe of Death, too, the one with the motorcycles inside.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
And I want Benjamin Linus standing in the middle with his arm out. And he's not nervous.
As everyone whizzes by him.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. That'd be cool. Take it. You know, run with it.
Next week on Lost.
Next week on
that
Lost.
That is The Cost of Living.
The Cost of Living featuring Benjamin Linus and the Globe of Death.
With Gunther Gable Williams on top of it balancing on an elephant.
Predicted.
Next week.
Hey, it's all right.
Man, I got the two islands right.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
All right,
you're
guys.
Not wrong. You're just an asshole.
Mike, where are you on that one, buddy? All right, guys. Let's get to the music section. We got a great piece from Jimmy. Take it away, Mr. Seattle.
We go a little retro this week on the Dharma Lao's Lost Score. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, hold on a minute, this is James Bond, it's not Lost. But there is actually a connection, which we're coming to. But one thing about the Darmalars is they certainly like their Bond, and I particularly, and Ralph, love the music of John Barry, that you're listening to now. Now, as we all know, the episode Further Instructions was a Locke-centric episode. And as a result of that, we got to hear some common music associated with the character of John Locke. And there was a bit of a sleuthing done this weekend by Ralph, and he pointed out an interesting fact to me, which we'll come to, which ultimately leads us here to music of John Barry. When Pixar Studios decided to make The Incredibles, they originally wanted John Barry to do the musical score. They wanted him to hark back to his Bond days and give that 60s sassy spy sound. Now, as it happened, John Barry was unavailable, so the studio asked Michael Giacchino to step in. A great deal of Barry's influences can be heard in Giacchino's work, so he seemed like a very fitting choice and most capable. And, in fact, here's some of his work coming in now. He's certainly managed to capture the sound and style of Barry's work. He got a lot of acclaim for this score. And it's quite amazing the amount of people who love Lost and also own a copy of The Incredibles and aren't aware that actually Michael Giacchino wrote the score for both.
Mm-hmm.
John Barry and James Bond, here's something interesting. Have a listen to this carefully. I'm going to bring in another piece of music, slowly overlapping into it. Have a listen, you'll recognize it. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, is that just a straight Barry influence there? But thank you to Ralph for pointing that out. Very interesting. We were talking last week about simplicity, and one of our readers or listeners, actually called Jay, chimed in and mentioned about very simple chord progressions that Giacchino uses, and how they're very common in a lot of works, actually. And with that in mind, I'd like you to listen to the next three chords that are coming up in the background about now. Okay, so let's hold that thought. One thing I liked about Further Instructions was that there was a lot of Locke's theme, and there seemed to be several variations on that theme. But one in particular caught my interest, and that was the sequence right at the end of the show, the closing moments. I've always been a fan of atmospheric electronic music, if it's done well, and it seemed to fit the mood. But when I was just suggesting you listen to the three chords at the end of Locke's theme, and hold that in your memory and then listen to this music that's coming up, and let's see what we're listening to.
I'm going to find our friend. I don't know how yet, but I will. We're going to find them, all of them. And then we're going to bring them home. But first things first, we got to look after Mr. Echo. So Paolo and Nikki, bring towels and water. Claire, we got to clean him up, so bring all the first aid supplies you can find.
Not a bad speech.
Got hit with, you know. Deja vu.
Okay. Well, when that wears off, can you get bandages from the kitchen?
So I thought that we were listening to Desmond's new theme for a while. But then, if you listen to this...
Bad speech.
Whoa,
what?
Just got hit with, you know, Deja vu.
Yeah, right. Well, you're not the only one, Hurley. So are we listening to a variation of Locke's theme? Or is it more evidence, once again, that you can do a hell of a lot with just a few chords? Great stuff, though. I enjoyed that little piece. Well, the good news is that I enjoyed the episode Every Man for Himself very much, and we'll touch on that next week. So, it's time to say goodbye once again. Thanks, by the way, to all those people who are writing in. It really is very appreciated. So, from the Pacific Northwest, this is Jimmy signing off. Namaste.
Thank you, Jimmy. That was awesome. I look forward to next week's look into Every Man for Himself.
Yeah, I like listening to Jimmy talk about the music. Jimmy the Ripper. Wow.
That guy's starting to get me wet.
I really, when he played that
stuff. The ladies love him.
The ladies love that accent. You know
I'm pretty sure that Ben and Ralph have a show here, too, that you can listen to.
Yeah, but we don't have any accents.
I should probably take out the chapter so they're stuck listening to us at least some of the way.
I wonder if maybe that's never mind. But what I was going to say is I was telling Jimmy that I didn't really notice the similarities and the homage between Jay Chino's work on Incredibles and John Barry.
That's asinine.
I noticed it stylistically. Okay. I totally noticed it stylistically.
Okay.
But I didn't realize that it came down to such a specific
The tracks he actually played, there are some that are actually almost dead on with like the Space March from You Only Live Twice and stuff. Like that score is like it might as well be John Barry. It's fucking brilliant.
And it's amazing. And I told him also that The Incredibles was the last score that I sat down and listened to, which is really rare for me.
Were the lights out or something? What happened? The TV blew up?
No, I just sat down and listened to it and like played solitaire.
Wow.
On my computer.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really good music.
So that is our show for today.
That's it, guys.
Before we get to You All Everybody, we're going to talk a little bit about You All Everybody. I need to talk about You All Everybody a little bit. But Ben has something to say about last week's caller.
Yeah, last week we got a call from Tori in Oregon. Or for Spooky Week, I guess we should call it Goregon. And she kind of set us straight on some of the Korean. And that was really really useful, and I'm thankful to her for it. She said that yubo, I don't know if I'm saying it right, means sweetheart or honey or whatever. Yeah. She also explained how there's a difference between what they're saying and what's on the subtitles because just they're saying more.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really helpful. So thank you, Tori.
Thank you very much. Thanks to all our callers.
Thanks to all the callers for calling the Dharma Line.
One of the things I want to talk about the Dharma Line, let me get a little bit serious here, guys. The only thing that I really want to say about the Dharma Line is we got a call this week that I'm not going to be playing, unfortunately. Usually the format has been we take all the calls in the order that we receive them, and we play them in You All Everybody. This week I got a call which was obviously from a kid, I believe. It sounded like a younger listener, which I'm not going to play just for the fact that this is an adult show. We do have an explicit tag.
It is tagged as explicit.
If you kids are sneaking Dharmalars into your house without your parents knowing, I mean, I wish there was something I could do to your folks should be better parents. If you do call the Dharma Line and we think that you are underage, we don't want to promote.
It seems like
underage,
our duty.
Yeah. We don't want little fucking kids.
Yeah.
Listening because we say words like shit and damn it.
They probably found us because of the explicit tag. Yeah, they probably thought they could learn some new swears.
God, I almost forgot again. Okay, we have been part of the Lost Initiative for like over a month now, and we have yet to mention it on a podcast, and I almost forgot again. The Lost Initiative. We are part of the Lost Initiative.
True.
For those of you listening to on the Lost Podcast Network, subscribe to iTunes, go to Lost Initiative, you'll get us, you'll get Kim's Lost Diary, and you'll also get Make Your Own Kind of Music with Scott and Steve.
And that's the Lost Initiative. It's like a network of podcasts devoted to Lost.
It's the network of us three.
Yeah.
And we're one happy family, and totally subscribe to it. If you guys are just listening to us on the Lost Podcast Network, you know, whatever to that. You guys should also check out Scott and Steve, who haven't been posting on the Lost Podcast Network.
Oh.
But Lost Initiative, we've been part of that. We are the only Lost Podcast Network feed with the explicit tag. So beware, little kids.
Yeah, beware.
Pull the string. Pull the string. We already did that.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Well, all right.
I don't remember. Whatever.
We haven't sworn that much, and we haven't done about as
asking
spooky
us
as I wanted.
I know. I was...
Boo, motherfucker!
See, I wish that Halloween was last week.
Because then you'd be all juiced
because,
from last week?
No, because last week I was not as fired up on the episode that I would have
Oh, you would have
wanted
more time
to talk
about
yeah,
other shit.
I would have been talking about how spooky things are. Halloween is fantastic. We are going to end the show out after You All Everybody segment with a brilliant song that everyone should listen to. For Halloween, it'll get you in the Halloween mood. Folks, you have to listen to this song.
A perennial favorite.
Yeah, Ryan, what year is this song from? 60s. It's from the 60s. It's some jazz quintet trio. That's three quintet
tritet.
And then it's god awfully awesome. The greatest Halloween song in the history of the 60s.
And we personally listen to it every year, at least for the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And so we're bringing you our joy / pain.
So those of you listening around the world,
yeah,
enjoy what America has to offer.
And, I guess we're closing out, right? We're done.
I'm done. Fuck it.
I'm
going to
go trick-or-treating.
Kids, seriously, you shouldn't be listening to us.
And if you are listening to us, don't call and make it all obvious.
Yeah, because it makes us feel uncomfortable.
Ralph especially.
If there's anything Ben hates is little kids.
It is true. I hate children. I hate the sound of their laughter from outside of my bedroom window.
What? Are you talking about Halloween spooks outside your
yes,
window?
Yes, I'm talking about Halloween spooks. I hate the sounds of their shrill shrieking, those ghouls,
all right,
those
man.
Grim grinning ghosts.
Looks like we're rounding it up. What do you say we just get out of here,
Give
dude?
Us the phone number, dude.
You give us the phone number, dude.
Okay. It's give us a call at the Dharma line at 206-338 something.
One of the numbers and one of the numbers backwards.
Start over then. You give it to them.
Call us at the Dharma line at 206-338-4261.
4261. Damn.
And that is the Dharma line, and you could look at that right now if you have the iTunes feed. And if you want to email us with your hands, call us at dharmalars@gmail.com. Or write to us, I suppose. Ryan is just out of control laughing right now.
Ryan's laughing because...
He's throwing off my game.
Ryan's laughing because I gave him a look regarding whether or not people can see our phone number.
God damn it.
Every week.
You guys are jerks. If you want...
Call us an email if you
write
want.
Write us with your hands, dharmalars@gmail.com. Daniel Day Lewis. Email us with your foot. Not too much.
Too much. It's too much. All right, so...
I think we should just stay until Ryan's done laughing. This is great. Oh, he's
done. He cut it off. He pinched it.
Gross. All right, Broseph.
All right, you know what? Everyone have a great and safe Halloween. Enjoy the holiday in the spirit that it's meant, which is fun and dressing up and eating candy.
And be slutty, girls.
And
send those pictures.
Girls. And slutty Smurfettes.
And girls.
So Ralph has a line that he's ready to go out on.
I have four lines. It might not be four. I haven't counted. I'm not good at math.
Everyone, enjoy You All Everybody. Enjoy Lost, and we'll talk to you next week. And have a happy Halloween. Lost a la vista.
You tell me Blaine and Hawkins were killed by a fucking lizard? It's a bullshit psych job. There's 2 or 3 men out there at the most. Fucking lizard. Predator kicks ass, dude.
Nice.
Mac was in this episode of Lost. Oh, Predator's awesome. Gonna have me some fun. It had me so
fun. And I'm not even that big of a Predator fan, but I mean, because I've only seen it a couple times.
I know, but hey, shh. Let's listen to the calls. Someone special called us this week. Let's listen.
Hey, guys. It's Jorge. Don't concentrate so much on the hair. Because sometimes actors might come back, yet be doing other projects and can't necessarily maybe get their hair trimmed to match certain flashback, perhaps. Maybe.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out of L.A., aka the Alps. Yes, love the podcast and everything, but I was thinking, man, about the others. Have you noticed they never blink? Like any of the main characters, the black chick, Benry, you know, the weird chick that a busted cap and anybody, like, they never blink. They always got their eyes bulging out of their heads like they're androids or something. I don't know. Like I said, I love the podcast, you guys. And keep up the good work.
Hey, guys. Anthony, third-time caller, zero-time listener. Just wanted to say that this episode was pretty interesting. Pretty fascinating about the two different islands, but I do believe I heard this statement made by one of you guys. I'm not sure who it was. And I'm a little disappointed to see Kate come out of that little sunskirt dress thing, because the jeans and the top, and just kind of done with it. Anyway, talk to you later.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to chime in after tonight's episode. I don't know about that whole other island thing. The two islands. I might have to call shenanigans on that one. Because that whole time he's talking about conning a con, what other way would they trick him into staying in that cage? As to say, you gotta cross the frickin' English Channel to get there. So, I don't know. I think somehow they did that. Even though it makes sense that there are two islands, because they didn't want Saeed and them to find it on the boat, but I don't know. I just really didn't think that. And, you know, Vinny, I just want to say please don't kill Echo, because I know you guys have a big hand in writing the episodes of Lost. So I just want you guys to change your mind. Please don't kill Echo. Please kill Charlie. Please, I'll give you $1, each of you. But in real, that's $1. And I also think you should close every show with a Total Recall quote. Because you should just get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. Bye.
Hey, Dharma Lars, it's Taylor with Dharma Bum Studios. That's in Northern California, man. That was one kick-butt episode last night. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Start to finish, especially the finish, man. There's some really good Sawyerisms in there. Gotta love Kate bringing her sexy back, at least. And what I want to know, though, is what was up with Desmond's little invention? They made it sound in previews and stuff like it was going to be something, you know, super science fiction-y. And I got to admit, looking at that thing with the cable, the lightning rod, plugging it into the island there, I had this Back to the Future flashback of, you know, them plugging that big coat hook into the DeLorean and running it down the street. I don't know. I don't know if that means to us that Desmond's seeing the future or what, but I don't know. That's what popped into my head. So now we've got two islands. That blows my mind. Two islands. I really want to know how the first island doesn't see the second island. I don't know if that's the electromagnetic thing or what, but I think the others also mentioned a sub. And so if they've got a sub, that definitely explains how they could get over to the boat without having to run past Jin and Saeed, because they weren't even on the island, or island number one, we should call it, I guess, and able to get the boat and get back. I suppose that also explains the cable going on to the first island. I mean, we saw that first season. Where the heck does it go? It goes all the way to the other island. So that's got to run like video or communications or power or something. I really want to find out what. And my last question is this. If the hydro station is on island two, is that one of the like six or eight stations that the Dharma Initiative has? Because I figured those are all on island one. I'm assuming the hydro's an extra station. I don't know. Be curious to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Love the podcast. Been listening for the past few weeks. Keep up the great work, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Ralph and Ben. It's Amy in Little Rock. Ben, I want a status report on that Lost puzzle, okay? Don't be a whiny bitch. It's just a jigsaw puzzle, not a Rubik's Cube. Ralph, I'm really glad you liked this episode better than Further Instructions, okay? Because it's really fun to watch you get all pumped up and excited on the blog. It's been a lot more fun this week, or I guess I should say today, compared to what it was like last week. And guys, don't feel insecure about Jimmy getting all the attention from the ladies. It takes more than a sexy accent to, who am I kidding, be insecure. All right, fellas, good luck tonight. Love the episode. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. Take care. Bye. If Ben is the fucking Rubik's Cube master, then a jigsaw puzzle should not be a problem.
The children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane. Life of me, and there's Halloween spooks outside my window.